Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday. Chucky's with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington if you want to follow along on TV. Thank you for tuning in this Thursday morning, January 25th, 2018. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Good morning. Johnny Cake Sawville's here.
That's a happy open line Thursday, JP.
Yes, it is. And Jason Bishop's here as well.
Tiger. It's Tiger Week.
Tiger Week.
Already, big one.
I've already tweeted an image of Tiger this morning, and I have to say, it's like porn to me, Cakes.
I know.
I saw
know
this picture.
Visibly aroused. So you see Tiger in his backswing or looking at his new equipment from TaylorMade.
I know. He posted like four or five pictures on Instagram yesterday, and I just saw him this morning. And there's one picture where he's right at the top of his swing where it just looks like classic Tiger. And by the way, he's so cock diesel. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's so huge right now.
But Royals will do it for you.
He's swole.
Yeah, I don't think he's...
Hey, you know what?
On road.
Just make sure you're not doing anything at 1:40 p.m. today.
1:40 p.m., that's the magic time.
That's the magic
Now,
number.
What time does the TV coverage start?
2:30.
2:30?
Yep.
So will we have online access?
Valdez has to
absolutely.
Have some sort of workaround, pirating, some sort of...
PGA Tour Live, baby.
Illegal stream.
This is the reason I pay $7 a month.
What time does the feature group start?
11:45.
All right. And the feature group is...
I have to look into that. Honestly, I've just been doubting Tiger.
This is actually legal access, like PGA's online stream.
Yeah, PGA has a stream that is a subscription based thing.
This
that
is
you can
unlike
watch.
You, Valdez.
I pay more for Tiger than I do for cable.
Right.
Playing with Patty Reed and Chuck Hoffman,
so great. And again, I'm keeping my expectations muted. It's impossible to expect this guy to go out there and light it up. Although some people do think. He looks good, and they expect big things, so we'll see.
I would have thought you'd be wearing jeans today, because with all the Tiger talk and the Tiger images, I mean, there might be a bump in the front of your pants.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to show you that bump in the sweats, Cakes.
Right. Might want to corral that thing.
I love it. It just makes the week that much more interesting.
Makes the middle of the day much more interesting.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. Now, I will say this. If he goes out there and shoots 77, it'll be a little bit depressing. It'll be a little sad. So I don't know what last year what won at Torrey last year. What was the winning score?
I'm sure we know. Don't you have a computer in front of you?
Well, Valdez usually knows that kind of stuff. What was the winning score last? So how deep does he have to go?
The 12 under was the winning
how
score.
How deep does he have to go the first day or two to stay in the mix? Obviously, you got to shoot even par or better generally.
Let's look at it.
So I mean, were guys going like 20 under? It's not one of those, is it? I hope not. Look, he can make a lot of birdies. Even last year with a broken back, he led the Hero World Challenge in birdies. He can make birdies.
I just have to say I'm broke.
But, you know, he has so many blow-up holes these days.
See, 2016, Snedeker was 6-under. 2017.
6-under, see, that's...
Sneds.
I mean, it's not like you could just rip this course apart.
Seven under. Okay, yeah. good. Yeah. So shoot around anything around even par is great. Yeah, fine.
The South course isn't that easy. North course a little bit easier, but South course no joke.
I thought Rahm shot 7-under on the final day.
I'm sorry, 13-under. Yeah, 7-under on the
round. Rahm shot like a 30 on the back.
Snedeker was 6-under for the tournament the year before.
All right, so you got to be a couple under if you want to be in the mix. You know, to try to be on pace.
Also depends on the weather, too, because it's always a little dicey in January out there, the fog and the possible rain.
But I know
I don't think they're calling for rain for this week.
They're going to have so many camera shots of the donks hang gliding.
Right.
that's their bit at Torrey.
This is a CBS coverage, correct?
Yes.
CBS broadcast.
Hang glide a dicey pursuit. I mean, it looks butt dangerous.
Well, they're just hang gliding over the green, watching donks.
Isn't that like a 70s and 80s pursuit, hang gliding? People
well,
still
happens
actually
all the
do
time
that?
Out in the San Diego area.
I know,
people
I wouldn't
still
do
hang glide in
I
2018.
Would never Mm-mm. do it. That's like wearing a squirrel suit, as far as I'm concerned.
Pretty much.
You know, jumping out of an airplane. flying in some like some cave or whatever.
It's like taking a fancy lawn chair and strapping it to your back and jumping off the edge of a cliff.
Yeah. I mean. And yes, I've seen, we've all seen the video of the guys in the squirrel suits flying into the plane, the moving plane.
Yes. Yeah.
We've seen that.
Correct.
And it is remarkable.
It's pretty impressive.
It's insane, but it's remarkable.
Cakes mentioned it. It is open line Thursday. Phone lines are open at 800-636-1067. You can call us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Listener Lines. You can text the same number, Thompson Creek Windows text machine, 800-636-1067. Standard message data charges may apply. And, of course, you can always tweet us at Junks Radio. If you want to talk about Tiger Woods' return to golf, you certainly can. Wizards back in action tonight as they've been struggling. I think 2 weeks left until the trading deadline, all this discussion about the floundering Wizards. They're 5 games above 500, but they still have time to turn it around. Of course, John Wall and Bradley Beal, they are all-stars. So we'll see what happens in this fourth game of a road trip, which they've started off 1-2. So not an impressive road trip after an unimpressive homestand, which they were 2-3.
Yeah, I was hoping for a 3-2 road trip. I think that might be a bit of a pipe dream, so unless they pull off the upset tonight in OKC.
So they play the Thunder twice in the next 3 games. Will they beat the Thunder in any of those games?
Yes.
They will.
I think they will because the Thunder are underachieving. So I think they'll pull one of them off.
The Thunder are basically the Wizards out west.
Right.
Yes. Although they've been playing better.
They've been playing better, yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. I hope they do. I have low expectations. You know, I was going back and forth on Twitter with people as we were kind of, you know.
Thunder, by the way, won 5 straight.
Yes.
We were going back and forth about the Wizards, you know, chemistry issues. I guess there's still some fallout. A lot of the Wizards were responding to the J.J. Barea comments. They were kind of attacking him. John had a weird quote, which I thought was hilarious, because John said something like, let me see if I have
it. I love Twitter!
John said something in effect of, well, I don't believe it because nobody would be man enough to say it to me. Well, that doesn't mean it couldn't be true.
Right, so somebody's supposed to come up to you and say, I don't like you.
Hey, man, we're talking about your back. Just want to let you know we're talking behind your back, John.
Here's the John quote. John Wall on claims of Wizards issues with him. I've never had a teammate say he didn't like me. If it's true, nobody would be man enough to say it to me, so I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That quote literally makes no sense.
Right.
Because if they believe it and they're scared of you, they're not going to say it to you. But it doesn't mean they don't believe
it. It's almost as dumb as when Bradley says the Cavs were ducking him.
Yeah.
Well, that's clearly
dumb. There's some dumb statements that come out of that backcourt.
But and it, again, even though I'm just souring on the Wiz in a lot of ways, and JP brought up that stat that came out in the last 2 days or so where John Wall has been documented to walk on the court more than anyone other than Dirk Nowitzki.
Actually, I think he actually walks more than Dirk. Dirk's number two.
So he's number one.
Yes.
No one walks on the basketball court more than John Wall.
According to Zach Lowe.
Which is so tilting when you hear that. I mean, it's just shocking.
How can they track every single player?
Now, that be said, some of the top players in the league are amongst the highest walkers, apparently. James Harden,
but
LeBron.
They conserve their top 20.
The elite players walk.
Durant. I see Durant walking all the time.
Right. Okay. All right. Whatever. But he's number one.
Yeah.
No one does it more than him. That's tilting. But so we're kind of going back and forth, and I think I have to give credit to the people that I was interacting with yesterday on Twitter for kind of deducing that if there is a mole in the Wizards locker room, we can talk about it later in the show, I'm 100% convinced now it's Marcin Gortat.
Well, Gortat, I don't know that he hides it. He's really available for the media all the time.
It's chatty Cathy.
He recently said that he'd love to end his career in Orlando.
He's
and
constantly,
that's on the heels of saying he's almost ready to retire.
He's always unhappy with playing time. He was unhappy with Whitman. Apparently, and I didn't know this, that he passive aggressively likes comments on social media that say you should be playing more. They don't pass you the ball enough. You know what I mean? Which is really douchey. So I'm now 100% convinced that if there's any sort of turmoil in that locker room, at least one of the guys at the center of it is Marcin Gortat.
This guy.
Pod's gold team, something like that.
You think he knows his name now?
He probably does.
He probably knows Porzingis.
Something like that.
Yeah, right. Gortat does not strike me as the type of guy that is happy in this particular city and setting.
Well, he's always complaining.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. He's a fun guy. Like,
but I don't know if he's happy with the players he's with.
Yeah, I think he's not happy. I don't think he was happy when Whitman was here. He's never happy. It's never enough for Marcin. He's just one of those guys, right? So he's definitely one of the guys that's probably leaking to people that, you know, guys don't like John or it's not good around here. I would bet a lot of money that Gortat is at the center of that. So what does that mean? I don't know. But It's information food for thought. This team is turning into a disaster.
I just know they look like a very low energy, passionless team most of the times that I watch them. Tonight against OKC, it's on TNT, so it's a nationally televised game. They're probably going to be amped up.
Yeah, he's dumb.
Don't know that leads them to a win, but that's the effect that happened on Christmas when they played really hard for 48 minutes and they beat the Celtics. They just generally don't look like a team that's playing that hard.
I've always thought that, though, generally speaking. It's come playoff time, they do. And I think, generally speaking, for the league, you can make that argument.
And, hey, maybe it'll work out for them because, at least right now, the Eastern Conference looks to be wide open. Now, Toronto's been playing pretty consistently. Mm-hmm. Boston won last night, and they've been on a bit of skid. But they're vulnerable. They're not. If they had Gordon Hayward back, who's shooting jumpers, by the way, then I think it would be a different story. But they're vulnerable. Cleveland's lost 10 out of their last 13. Yep. LeBron's complaining, why didn't we get Paul George? Why didn't we get Eric Bledsoe? Do you see the talent he has on the team?
Boo-hoo.
Like, he's boo-hooing when there are just all these studs on the team.
Me a big
he's just
river,
tired of the
LeBron.
Losing.
Just
By the way, and Westbrook can really challenge you. So this is a national TV game against a superstar, a couple of them, and Westbrook is one of those guys that if you're not ready to play, I mean, he's just going to eat you alive.
Right, but they know that, and these are the kind of games that they get up for. They don't get
I
up for
that
the regular
over that.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Open line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show. Talk Wizards, Tiger Woods, anything else.
By the way, we were talking about Westbrook yesterday when we were talking about the reserves that were announced for the All-Star game. And maybe we're kind of sleeping on it, but Westbrook's basically averaging a triple-double again.
Well, that's what I was asking yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. He's 0.4 assists or maybe 0.4 rebounds short of a triple-double right now.
It's crazy. Let's go to Peter in Minneapolis. Peter, what's up, my friend?
Good morning. How's it going, Junks?
Hey, doing great.
Hey, what's the weather like today, this morning?
It's still dark out here, but it's cold. It's probably like 20 or so. I mean, we got dumped on the snow on my birthday a couple of days ago. Yeah.
You had a pretty bad storm come through there a couple of days ago, right?
Absolutely, yeah. My son, they only delayed school by 2 hours, but we had to push our car off out of the ditch. It was bad times.
That's incredible because I saw the video of the storm that passed through Minneapolis. And if it would have snowed like that here, schools would have been shut down for a week and a half.
Oh, absolutely.
And you got 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. I was even surprised they even did 2 hours, but the roads were pretty much impassable.
I mean, there are a bunch in Minnesota. When's the last time you went ice fishing?
Oh, that's basically just a big excuse to go drinking. I wish I could go more often, but that's definitely that's a big thing here.
Like, so you just drill a hole, drop a line down, and then you actually can catch fish just sitting there like an idiot?
You sit there in your hut with your heater?
Yeah,
yeah. People in Wisconsin do it where they just stare down in the hole with a spear and they wait for something to come by and spear it.
That sounds like caveman type of stuff.
It's basically like staring at a blank television screen for like 7 hours waiting for something to come on.
That's the worst sort of fishing I've ever heard of.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
Spear but ice fishing?
No, it's a big drinking thing here, and you know, people even hook up like satellite TVs out in there. It's become like a whole thing.
You know what? Just speaking of, hold on, Peter. We'll let you stay, but hold on. Speaking of spearfishing, you know how we had those photos that Tiger would posted on Instagram a few weeks ago of him and like this big ass fish, damn near looks like a shark.
Yep.
Yeah, a couple of them that he caught, I guess, off the coast of Florida. And apparently, I was listening to Hank Haney talk about this. Tiger goes out there and basically does that by hand with no tanker, and he knows how to hold his
just
breath.
He free dives.
He knows how to hold his breath for like 2 minutes.
Well, that's silly.
And he goes down. Well, he's such a man's man. He goes down. He bangs everybody from Perkins. He goes down there and spears him or whatever he does, holding his breath way down below.
To be able to hold your breath for 2 minutes. That is
an
amazing.
Well,
I mean, he's a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, it's insane. Go ahead, Peter.
People are devastated about the Vikings out here. I mean, not that anyone out there cares about it, but that was
a big
letdown.
Mm-hmm. What do you think they should do quarterback next year?
I mean, Case kind of proved himself. I'm a Bears fan, so I don't really care. I mean, hopefully Trubisky will do something good over the next few years. But, yeah, I think Case, and I think they love Teddy, so I'm guessing Bradford probably may be available for you guys if you're interested.
Are Vikings fans, do they even care about the Super Bowl?
Well, it's here, so they're kind of bitter that Philly fans are going to invade. There's all these videos of Philly fans like throwing batteries and beers and stuff on Vikings fans and stuff like that.
You know what's sick, though?
They're just the worst.
It's interesting. A buddy was tweeting about this, that he's like all into the sports business, and this is actually better for your economy, though, right? Because
people actually come.
They're going to travel. Yeah, to your town. Otherwise, they wouldn't. You know, half of them wouldn't.
I should rent my silly condo to some donk from Philly.
Yeah, absolutely should.
Get on it.
Put that on homeaway.com or something.
Yeah.
Airbnb.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to thank you guys for 20 years of entertainment. I started listening back in 97 when I lived in D.C. I moved out here, and once podcasting got invented, I've been listening ever since. So, and I dispatched my sister, who lives in Falls Church, to try to get a bobblehead last year, but she was unsuccessful. But she sent me a silly picture of EB, so that was good.
So that was a good consolation prize.
Nice.
Yeah. You posed with a nice picture with her. Thanks a lot, boys. Have a great week.
Peter.
And
thank you, Peter.
Have fun at 106.7 The Fan.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. What is that, tomorrow? Yeah,
the Fan will pay tomorrow night.
Thanks for calling in from Minneapolis.
Good dude. Chad Dukes was upset with Adam Epstein.
Why?
Blue Shorts wrote a whole article. He thinks AWOD's a complete joke, which we all agree is a complete joke.
Oh, he doesn't like the attention. Attitude. Does he not like the attention that Adam's getting? Oh,
if you go to thefandc.com, you can actually see the quotes. I mean, Chad went off on AWOD.
He's really looking bloated.
Basically thinks that AWOD should be fired.
Well, I mean, it's a good argument for that.
And said that AWOD's attitude that... I think Chad was upset that AWOD isn't thinking that people are there to see him and not the hosts. And
Right.
Chad said, go ahead, take my spot if you want.
Well, he's going to have an opportunity. I think we're going to make something happen like that.
That'll be entertaining.
We'll see how he can handle things. He looks so bloated, though, Cakes. Look at him. Look at his face. Can you see? It's really round.
Looks about the same as usual.
You look like I can palm it and dunk
That's
it.
That's what Dime Tito every night will do to you.
Exactly.
All right, open line Thursday. If you want to chime in on anything, phone number is 800-636-1067. We will talk to former Redskins GM Charlie Casserly coming up at 6:40. Get his thoughts on what the Redskins are looking at the Senior Bowl in Alabama. Ted Johnson will join us, former Patriots linebacker. We'll preview the Super Bowl with him. We'll take your calls next at 800-636-1067.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Former Redskins GM Charlie Casserly going to join us in about 15 minutes. And yesterday he had some videos out on social media. He's down at the Senior Bowl in Alabama.
There you go.
Yes.
He had a couple great videos where he was commenting on Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen and their potential and how they were playing. It was actually one hysterical video. I think he was talking about Baker, where he's kind of prancing around and like how the kind of movement you're looking for when you're drafting a quarterback,
right?
And Charlie's like doing the footwork.
Really?
Oh yeah. It's
actually, look at that, Charlie all spry and limber.
It's actually,
I think we have some of the audio and we can get into it. Phone number is 800-636-1067. With the reports that some people think that Josh Allen should be the number one pick. That's Mel Kiper's mock draft. And comparisons, and you're going to hear it, of Josh Allen to Carson Wentz.
Mm-mm.
Would you be intrigued by drafting him if he was available at number 13? Now, with all of this buzz, maybe he's not going to be there at number 13. Originally, it was kind of thought that he would be. But now the talk is that all these quarterbacks are going to go so early, who knows?
I think they're interchangeable. Nobody knows. They're grasping. But I want to hear him talk about Allen, because I heard the Mayfield stuff and I got sized. I didn't hear the Josh Allen stuff.
So when you're looking at Josh Allen specifically, out here as well as on college tape, what do you see?
Well, first thing, it jumps off the screen, and here, arm. This guy's got a big-time arm. On the college tape, he makes big-time throws. Tom, big-time throws are downfield throws 20 yards or more in tight windows. This guy can do that. He's got pretty good movement. He can throw on the run. You'd like to see at times better accuracy. You'd like to see a little better decision-making. He turned the ball over a lot, but I'm not as concerned about that because I want to go back and study them. All of them are not his fault. Bottom line, this guy has the ability to go at the top of the draft. This guy's got Carson Wentz physical talent to throw the ball. Wentz went too.
If you have concerns about Allen, what are they?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's, you know, the turnovers, which I want to go back and study.
Accuracy.
The inconsistency a little bit on decision-making and learning a pro system complexity of it. We want to see, and studying those part of things I want to see and learn a bit more about. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm going to learn more about it.
Now, if he's a real comp to Carson Wentz, I don't see how the Browns could pass on him because they've been ripped mercilessly for passing on Carson Wentz when he came out. Well, when he was available
to them.
Well,
they're going to take one of these donks.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of beauty in the eye of the beholder.
That's the only thing about him. The question mark is the accuracy. He had some really bad games. Really bad games.
Yeah.
I mean, 9-for-20 type games.
Mm-hmm.
I watched him probably three times. I watched him against Iowa. He was terrible. Now, maybe he didn't have the supporting cast that he had the year before.
Yeah, look, was he getting good protection up front? Did he have time?
Yeah, he was fine. I mean, he's playing against teams like New Mexico. You're getting plenty of protection.
Well, no, but when you're playing in the bad games.
The
games he struggled, why
did
he struggle?
Well, Iowa came after him a little bit.
Yeah.
He did throw two picks in that game. But there were some other games where he was not real good. 12-for-27.
Well, I certainly think
11-for-25
that Kuiper's projection of him number one was kind of, was little,
but he's got
like
the
he's
size.
Doing a bit because nobody else really had him in that range. So I don't know, but Charlie kind of agrees with him and puts him at two-ish, you know, in terms of talent.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are looking at his height, his size, his hand size, everything.
I hate all that.
Everything that's on paper about him seems to be the best.
Well, I think it's overrated height, but. Fine. Mm-hmm. Play the second one where he talks about Baker Mayfield. This one got me a little bit sized. He doesn't have go ahead.
When you look at Mayfield on tape, what do you see?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me start with practice first there.
Yeah.
Quickness. Quick feet. Ball out comes out quick. Things that you see in a quick rhythm passing game to be successful, I saw them. Deep accuracy, a little off, but we're not going to hold that against him. On the tape, I see the quickness. I see the quick operation. I see an arm that's good enough to make all the throws. I see a guy that can make plays outside the pocket and a little bit of ability to read the defense. Now, the other things that bother you is you don't see enough of the pro system stuff because he isn't in it. So can he adapt to that? In Georgia, the rush got to him in the third quarter. He started looking down at the rush. You don't want a quarterback looking down. You want him looking up. He kind of got better as the time went on. So I do see a lot of positives there from him.
When you talk about the operation, break that down for him. When you look at a quarterback's operation, what do you mean?
Well, I tell you what, you want to look at his feet. In other words, you get a guy that here, look at my feet. Now, I don't have quick feet, but you want a guy to here that he can move like this, okay? See, he can move a little faster than me. What the hell are you laughing at?
That was the highlight of the entire Senior Bowl for me right there.
See, here's the thing on the bottom line on this guy. He's better than Goff coming out of college. That's Baker Mayfield. And Mahomes. Mahomes, same system a little bit. He's got more discipline than Mahomes. Mahomes has a bigger arm, okay? But this guy can be successful, too, in the right system.
One last thing on Mayfield.
That is a big statement right there. Better than Goff coming out of college, better than Mahomes.
And Goff blew up in year two.
And everyone's so high, everyone's get rid of Alex Smith for Mahomes.
A lot of it is just getting in the right system.
Absolutely.
You know, when these guys play
Absolutely.
In spreads and playing these gimmicky college-style offenses, and then all of a sudden they go to a 100% pro style, it doesn't seem to work, at least right off the bat.
It'd take years.
You got to do what the Redskins did with RG3.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it worked in year one.
Right, absolutely.
And that's actually what Mike Vrabel was saying about Marcus Mariota.
Right.
That Mike Vrabel was taken over as the Titans head coach said, you need to employ these college elements because the guys are coming out of college.
Right. That's how they thrive. That's what they do well at.
All right, let's go to the phones. Open line Thursday. You want to chime in on what you'd like the Redskins to look at the Senior Bowl in Alabama?
By the way, breaking down guys at the Senior Bowl is the equivalent of EB looking at Tiger screenshots like for his comeback. they're so giddy. Like Charlie's so in his element.
But what about, does it have that same impact on you or no? You don't really care as much. Like, does it, you know what I'm saying?
What, like Charlie's breakdown?
Yeah, Charlie's breakdown. Does that get you excited?
You see his passion for it, obviously.
That's my question.
Yeah, well, I don't get into it as much as Charlie, obviously, but...
Yeah. Charlie comes comes
alive.
It's starting
to get me a little bit pumped up for the draft.
Right.
You know it's coming.
But nobody knows how these guys are going to play.
I know.
You don't know what team they're going to be on. You just have no idea.
Yeah. There's a 100% chance, if we wanted, we could basically do anything we wanted from the draft.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is I know I have
Where is the draft this year?
I don't know. Is it
Chicago, I think?
Wherever it is. I know I have a conflict on the first day of the draft, and so I can't go.
That's fine. I'm fine to not go to the draft.
But if we wanted to, we could do anything we wanted with it.
Yeah.
Maybe we go up the day before or the week of and just, you know what I mean?
Actually, AT&T Stadium, Texas. Jerry World.
Oh, it's in Dallas.
Yeah. What if we just went like the day or two before? Now, we would need to get the funding and stuff, but I could probably work that out. But, I mean, D is, we could do whatever we want as far as, you know, access with D.
Right, but the only reason to go would be to interview the players. So if we get players.
Go to a party or something the day before.
Yeah.
I just can't do it the first day.
I'm lukewarm on it.
You know, but remember how much fun, though? And believe me, I don't like traveling.
Draft shows were fun.
But when we did the show, like, we did the show in Peyton Manning. That's how old we are.
Now, we did
the
show when
Peyton Manning was drafted.
Yeah, yeah. We did them in the late 90s.
When Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning were drafted, we were there.
I remember interviewing Curtis Edis when he was drafted.
We were doing it at night.
Right.
No, we did a special Saturday show.
Yeah, well, actually, we did special weekend shows.
I thought we did a Friday show.
Mm-mm. We did a special weekend show. We prepared like Mel Kiper.
So the draft back then was...
I remember some of those sheets I had.
Right, because the draft back then was just Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to...
The 90s. The junk's back in the 90s.
I love the 90s. Let's go to Robert, D.C. Robert, what's up?
How you doing, sir? I just wanted to call in. First of all, good morning. I'm a diehard Wizards fan, a season ticket holder.
Ooh.
And it's the season's been a little disappointed. Diehard John Wall fan, but I just want to run a few things by you.
Yes, sir.
Love John to death. John is one of the most athletic point guards in the game, but I think that he needs to learn how to stay in front of his man instead of reaching around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Marcin Gortat, you know, he's excellent in the pick and roll, but with all the drama that's going on, I think it's time to, you know, part ways. Brad Beal, excellent shooter. I just feel as though that maybe he needs to pick and choose when he takes certain shots. Otto needs to get aggressive. And last but not least, Scott Brooks, love him to death. I just would love to see him pull a Popovich. Get into your players when they're making mistakes in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's saw a stat on Bradley Beal.
Yeah, everything you say is correct.
I think he makes some good points. I saw a stat on Bradley Beal yesterday. He's second in the NBA in field goal attempts. He's a chucker.
Oh, wow.
Well, shouldn't he be? He's like a great shooter.
I'd like to see how many
isn't
he's
that his role?
Out. How many shots he put
It's not his role to be the lead shooter on the team. Maybe he needs to be more selective because his shooting percentage is down this year. Significantly down in three-point percentage and down a couple percent in field goal percent.
I would like to look at the analytics, and of course
and
I won't.
And so, but. Going to the chemistry like situation.
Where is he missing the
if
shots?
If the guys who are role players aren't getting the ball as much and getting as many chances, maybe there is an issue there.
Hey,
because John's attempts and Bradley's attempts are way up.
Neil Greenberg, please send me a chart showing why Bradley should be taking as many shots as he is.
Robert,
thank you.
What do you make of the stat that's come about lately that John walks on the court more than any other player in the league?
I think that John needs to, if he's going to be the leader, he's got to lead by example full-heartedly. He's a good guy. He's good for the community, but that means everybody's watching him when he's a leader. I think that John needs to run. He needs to, you know, he's the fastest guy in the league. With the ball, without the ball, you know, show it. I mean, one last point that I have, it's a shame in the league where everybody's afraid of your two guards blocking your shots versus your big men in the paint.
Right. Mm-hmm.
John leads the team in blocks.
I know, and that's a gimmick, too, because it means you got beat and you're catching them from behind. So I don't even like that.
So JP is right. He's got
Robert.
876 shot attempts. It's second to Westbrook, who's got almost 1,000. But he is shooting 46%, and his two-point percentage is 51%.
It's pretty strong.
I mean, he's not having a horrible year by any stretch.
I mean, he is an all-star.
No, and I think he deserves to
be an all-star. I mean, maybe he's 3%, 3 points down from last year, but he's shooting 46%.
Here's the Zach Lowe article from ESPN.com talking about John Wall and his walking. And
you know, can you retweet that so I can retweet it?
Yeah. Wall is shooting 42%, his lowest mark since he was a rookie, and he just hasn't played with enough vigor on either end of the floor.
One measure of that, he has spent 76.57% of floor time either standing still or walking. The largest such share among all rotation players, Dirk Nowitzki is right behind Wall, and he's almost 40.
That's not a
now,
good look.
LeBron is number four. James Harden, Melo, and Jeff Teague all populate the top 20.
Still.
But the guy points out, Wall should not be last. He too often stands around when he doesn't have the ball or when a shot is in the air and he might be able to help on the glass. He switches constantly on defense to avoid chasing his guy around picks.
Well, he's not a defensive stalwart, no doubt.
It's hilarious.
But when you play a ton of minutes, guys get tired, man. They walk a little bit.
And he does log a lot of minutes.
It's true. Yeah, where does he rank in terms of minutes? Where's he turn? I mean, it's easy to find.
I can look it up. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I know he logs a ton, as does Brad, because they need those guys logging heavy
minutes. Bradley Beal's 12th in the league in minutes.
John's got to be up there.
John Wall. Now, he took some time off because John Wall's 25.
What about just an average minutes per game?
34.
Huh? And where does that rank?
He's 25.
That ranks 25, 34?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next.
Both those guys, top 25 in the league in minutes.
Yeah, we'll talk to Charlie Cassidy.
He's got 24 guys ahead of him. And he walks more than all them.
Yes. He walks more than anybody or stands still.
Hey, you know what?
More than anybody in the league.
That's the offense. Talk to Scott Brooks about that.
Yeah.
Charlie Cassidy, former Redskins GM, joins us next as we talk Senior Bowl and prospects coming out in the NFL draft. Top of the stairs. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington.
Live.
And joining us right now to talk some Senior Bowl NFL prospects. He's an analyst on NBC Sports Washington, NFL Network, former GM of the Redskins and Texans, and he's in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. It's our pal Charlie Cassidy. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, good morning, man.
How are you?
Charlie, can you realize?
Ooh, great, thank you.
What do you think about guys who are now inching towards 50 that you met in the when we were like young,
mid 20s,
didn't have gray hair?
Yeah, the team picture does look a little different. I'll say that now.
That's for sure.
The team picture
certainly
looks
different.
You know what I was saying? Hey, you're still going good.
Yeah, we're survivors.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But you know what I was thinking, Charlie? I was getting my little coffee and oatmeal or whatever during the break and thinking about what we were going to ask you as you come on. And, you know, everyone, I've said it a million times how devoted we are to Charlie and how loyal we are to him because he was loyal to us 25 years ago, whatever it was. But you're so good on TV. I never would have imagined that you would have become this sort of TV guy when we first met you. You're such a hardcore football guy, and I never would have imagined that you would come to life. Like, you're demonstrating footwork the other day. It was hysterical. Did you ever know that you had this in you?
No, you know, I was always a natural public speaker in front of a group. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, somehow I was able to do it just naturally. And I never thought, you know, the two would combine each other. But as I evolved into television, you know, I took some of the same principles that you use in public speaking. In other words, if you don't believe in it and if you're not excited about it, why would anybody else be? So, you know, you kind of learn some things as you go. I had some good teachers when I started out, and I got some good points yesterday when I was down there from a speech coach who works for NFL Network and NBC Sports Washington. I never thought it would be, but again, some of the principles that I was natural with in talking in front of a group, you can use in television.
Well, the other thing, too, is you benefit, I think, from great timing because sports media has exploded over the last 20 years.
Well, it has. Yeah, absolutely. And I have to give CBS credit, NFL Network credit, because, well, when I left the Texans, they both offered me a job. The timing wasn't right for NFL Network. It turned out it was right for CBS, and CBS had the vision of saying he's our general manager, okay? And they really were the first station who went out there and said, okay, we're going to have somebody and we'll call him the general manager, okay? And then immediately, you know, I was able to work for NFL Network in the off season, so I combined both of them. And I got to give both networks credit for being creative about that concept because it really hadn't been done the way they were doing it. In other words, full time. And now you see a lot of executives on the thing, which opened up jobs for other people. I'm not saying I did that. The networks did that. okay? But what it showed is there's a value of an executive coming on talking about that concept, an aspect of it. And I think that I think it's proven that it adds a lot to the broadcasts on the different networks.
No question about it.
Charlie's down at Mobile.
We have radio shows too. So
So Charlie's down at Mobile for the Senior Bowl. Ton of scouts down there. Ton of coaches. Give us like the protocol for talking to players. Are scouts and coaches allowed to talk to the players kind of at their will? I mean, any time, can they pull them aside and talk to them? Or are there certain designated times that they can talk to the players? How's it work down there?
You know, I haven't paid attention to how they do it. They do set up windows for them to talk, and I don't know exactly what the structure is. Phil Savage, who was the general manager of the Browns, runs the Senior Bowl and has done a great job of making it more organized and more scout and team friendly with times to look and talk to the players. So I think they have more time to do that, so it's more structured and organized, and it is a part of it. But you have to remember, it's a limited amount of time. You're not going to make any decision on anybody in 15 minutes or a half hour, whatever. You're going to have a long process with them through the spring and talk to them multiple times and have long conversations with them. But it's a beginning is what it is.
Yeah.
Charlie, can you talk about sort of the attributes that you're looking at when you're looking for a quarterback? We played the tape of you breaking down Baker and Josh Allen. And I know one area of distinction that Jason and I have, listen, everybody wants a big, strong quarterback, 6'5", looks and plays the part. Who wouldn't? But I tend to think that height's a little overrated, right? I'd much rather have a more talented guy that's a little shorter. And if he's proven he can pass at a high level in college, I understand they're bigger in the NFL, but I would roll the dice with that over just some guy that looks the part. I don't know. I just feel like height is one stat in particular that I feel like is overrated, but you're the expert. I defer to you.
Well, you obviously would like to have height because you can see more that way and your release point's higher. They have less batted balls, okay? Let's make that point. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Short guys have to be able to have great instincts and feel in the pocket to slide around, find openings, and see.
Right.
Breeze is a great example of that, okay? Wilson is a semi-great example of that, but he makes a ton of plays outside the pocket where he creates his own windows, okay? Tyrod Taylor of Buffalo is a short guy who doesn't have those instincts in the pocket, okay? Baker Mayfield, I see things in college that I like. I see the feet I like. It's not a pro system, so he gets away with making plays outside the pocket, which I think he can in the NFL. But the other thing is, you know, there's no pass defense in college because they don't have the athletes right. that the NFL does. So your windows are wide open. So if you're a short guy, you have to have great instincts and vision and timing.
Mm-hmm. And neither of these quarterbacks, Mayfield or Allen, played in a conference where there was any defense. Certainly not Allen in the Mountain West.
No, they don't. But they overall, outside, except the SEC, you're not going to see great defense now because you also have the athletes on the other side of the ball. Now, I'm going to divert for one thing. We all talk in codes, right? Here's what I mean. When I say Josh Allen has Carson Wentz talent,
mm-hmm.
did I say I would take him there? No, mm-hmm. I said he's got that kind of talent. Mm-hmm. So always pay attention to the codes. You know, Belichick talks in codes. Gibbs talks in codes. Mm-hmm. You have to translate codes sometimes. Coaching point.
Now, you did say, get out of here for people that compare Baker Mayfield to Johnny Manziel. Why?
I'm sick and tired of that crap. I'll tell you why.
I agree.
Manziel, it's been documented, had multiple off-the-field issues. How about rehab?
Right.
Okay? That's a problem now.
Terrible right. drug habit now, issues.
Exactly. Work habit issues.
Yeah.
You don't see the same issues with Mayfield. That's radically different. Now, has he done some immature things? Sure he has. But the people I talk to don't feel that this will be a problem in the NFL, that this guy will figure out that you don't go down before the pregame warm-up start in a champion in a playoff game like Georgia and start talking trash to the other players. They think that he'll get himself out of that fast. Okay, in the NFL. And I've never met the guy. I'll tend to believe what people I trust tell me on that. So it's a different set of problems this guy has.
Well, not just that, but they're similar in size and stature, but Manziel was much more of a running quarterback than Mayfield was. Not even close. Manziel was a...
I think so. I think this guy's a better passer.
Yeah.
From what I could see. And so I think that to me is one of the reasons why I think he's better.
Manziel
plus
ran...
the whole makeup and...
Manziel mm-hmm. ran for 1,500 yards one year. His first year, I think he ran for 1,500 yards. Mayfield didn't sniff that. I mean, they're really not the same quarterback at all.
I don't see. I see this guy more of a passer type guy. That's got a chance.
Charlie, are you prepared? I mean, to give us like your ranking of the top quarterbacks, even just a preliminary ranking, like your instinct. I'm sure you haven't studied it the way you will in a month or so. But like, if your preliminary instinct.
I've kind of done a first wave, and I've got Darnold 1, Rosen 2, leaning Mayfield 3, Allen 4. I like all of them. I like parts of all of them. Okay. Then I draw a line and then there's a gap. Okay.
Right.
Lamar Jackson, I think, is an option quarterback. Okay. I have trouble projecting him.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Falk, I haven't done enough on him, so I'd like to hold off on that. People I talk to, I trust, see him more of the backup. So I think you have four guys that right now, and Mason Rudolph, I got him 5th.
Isn't Falk down there?
Excuse me?
Is Falk down there?
No, he was not down there. No, he's not down there. I've done the tape on him. I had him 5th. I like him.
Gotcha.
So,
but you like, who's the other one you said?
Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, Oklahoma State.
What are his key attributes?
Not in the same class as these four, but I like him next.
What's his knock? Like, what's his strength? What's his knock?
Well, the knock on him is arm strength.
Uh-huh.
Oh, not the physical talent. But I thought the guy had a real good touch on the ball, made a lot of nice throws deep. You know, again, it's not a pro system, but, you know, there aren't many guys that play in a pro system. So you got to be careful to knock him on that. I mean, you have to be aware of it. But I thought he had a pretty good poise to him, good accuracy, threw the ball well downfield. You know, does he have the good enough arm to make the throws you want? I want to see him live, which I don't know I'll be able to see him live. So that's the problem I have.
Charlie, if you're running the war room for Cleveland, put yourself in the shoes of their GM. Are any of those quarterbacks that you mentioned worthy of the number one pick, or do you try to trade back into like the 12 to 15 range, get more picks, and still find one of those guys sitting there?
Well, I would take Darnold, and I'm basing it off. I've watched 3 games on a guy, which is not enough, but it's a start. But I talked to a lot of people over the summer, and they had him clearly as the top guy. And people say, well, he didn't play quite as well this year. He didn't have the supporting cast. That's important, I think. They say when you see him live, he's not as impressive as he is on tape throwing the ball. I get that. Trent Green was like that. So there's things I haven't seen enough on him, but I'd lean to him 1 at this point in time. Being the best overall package, because the intangibles are off the chart on this guy. Intelligence, work habits, all those things seem to be off the chart, and those are important. And I've seen enough on tape where I like the guy, so I would put him in TV work. I'd put him 1 right now, and I've got teams that back me up on this, so I feel good about that.
Charlie, real quick, do you think that Mayfield or Allen will be available at 13 when the Skins select, if the Skins didn't move up?
No, I really don't. I think they've got to trade up to get one of those two guys.
Really? Wow.
It's Charlie Castle.
A lot of teams need quarterbacks now.
Yeah, you're right.
Former Redskins and Houston Texans GM.
That's why they drafted
his work on the NFL Network and NBC Sports Washington. Of course, he teaches at George Mason as well.
Love that. Thank you, Charlie.
And Georgetown.
And in Georgetown.
Got hustle. That's a lot of paychecks, Charlie.
You got more jobs than John Feinstein.
that's saying something now.
That's a lot of hustle.
That's not easy to do.
Thank you, Charlie.
The hustle's real.
Charlie Castle will come back.
We'll
open
barely
up the phone
do
lines again
else.
At 800-636-1067.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.